Welcome to Aspire. I'm your host, Gregory Pan, and I am profoundly and deeply grateful you chose to be with me on this April 18th day, 2020, as we take a look at how do I believe? Jesus talked about believing. If you only believed, you could move mountains, things like that. I think a lot of people have totally misunderstood that interpretation. But then again, you know, we are famous for missing the mark, as it were, and misunderstanding what great teachers have taught us. So we'll talk a little bit about that in a moment. I want to remind you, even in these dark and gloomy times that we seem to be in, your support is necessary to keep Aspire on the air, because without this program, our TV programs, we're doing now our Saturday morning discourses via Zoom. None of this could exist because everything costs money. You have to understand that. Zoom costs money. Everything costs money. So we need your support to help us. We have lost a lot of sponsors during all of this. People jumping off, always afraid that they won't have enough of this or that or the other. So, gee whiz, you can't live your life in fear. If this is the end, this is the end. Let's do it. It's not the end, but we'll talk about that today in today's program. Please consider being a sponsor. There has never been a time that we needed sponsors more than right now. And Aspire has always been there for you through the thick and the thin, always. And it is time for you, for those of you who have just, you know, ignored this plea for years, to step up and become compassionate towards the needs of others and the people that Aspire serves, both in hospice and in all of this. I'm sure you understand. Please help us. Go to the website at aspire.org. There you will see support. If you click on support, a drop-down menu will ensue, and you can help from there. This thing, how do I believe? This is a very big deal to people. And the emails that I keep getting over and over, by the way, you can email me at greg@aspire.org. That's greg@aspire.org, O-R-G. Are emails about what's going to happen to us. Are we going to plummet into hell? Is God going to destroy the earth? Why is God doing this? These are the tone and tenor of all of the emails I'm getting of late, and I try to listen to these emails with a compassionate ear, which I do, but, you know, it reeks of the whole idea that everybody's watched too much TV, too many dark movies. All of this is sunk into the unconscious mind, and here we are in a pandemic, and we don't have the inner strength. I think people are finding out they're not the people they thought they were, and this has been very alarming to people. I'm blaming God, or thinking that God, they can know God's plan, and we're all going to die, and that kind of thing. So I looked up the word belief, something one accepts as true or real, a firmly held opinion or conviction, contrary to popular belief. There you are. There is, and wait a minute, there's one more good one, a religious conviction. Trust, faith, or confidence in someone or something. And those are the definitions. And I read them and I just shake my head. You know, in the face of facts, in the face of the outer world, in the face of the limited acuity that most of us have, we make some pretty big decisions about what we're going to believe in. To accept something as true or real that is a firmly held opinion or conviction. There is a vast difference between opinion, conviction, and that of something that goes much deeper, which is more than confidence. It is something that is in the basic knowingness. And the way most of us use the idea of belief is as getting something we want, to try to get something we want. I want to be healed. I want more money. I want my family to be okay, blah, blah. These kind of wants. And then to put our confidence in something, our trust in something that basically God, we don't know anything about, nothing about, other than what religious leaders tell us from a book that was written thousands of years ago and really wasn't a book, what was turned into a book to try to decipher our reality, our humanity, our salvation. It just doesn't work. So I just want to get that word belief out there so you kind of know what we're dealing with. First question comes from Thomas in Dallas, Texas. How do I believe that we will get back to normal? I am trying, but it seems like the facts get in the way, Thomas. And then he goes on with some of the facts, and I don't want to get into all that. It isn't a matter of believing. What was normal? Normal got us into this. You know, normal, the way we live, the way we function as a society and as people got us into all of this, Falderall. So I don't know why you'd want your life back to normal, because normal got us into the abnormal here, the painful, and here's where we are. We find it very difficult to deal with our lives without some kind of ideal of believing that we're free, or our government cares about us, or there is a God that cares about it. If there were a God that cared about you, a government that cared about you, you wouldn't be quarantined. You wouldn't be where you are. You wouldn't be doing the things you're doing, because we have to do all of these things based on the fact that we can't discipline ourselves. And that is the big problem. So how do I believe that we will get back to normal? Hopefully this has changed us. Maybe this is the only thing that could change us, Thomas. What do you think those changes might be? Maybe a change in our attitude towards loving one another and helping one another. That would be a lovely change. How about the change of seeking to do something kinder, more compassionate? Maybe the change in us to start to realize this body is a very fragile instrument, and its fragility is very difficult to deal with because it is constantly telling us that we are needy and we need this and we need that and we can't go here and we can't do that, because if we do this or that or whatever, then somebody else will take our good, or whatever is our belief. It really all comes down to, what do you believe in? What do you believe in about yourself? What do you believe in about your life? What do you believe? Now that is the basis. And with belief, you will see seeping in there, Thomas, is our desires. I need to believe this, this, and this. Why not just be open to the circumstances? Be open to the situation. See it as an invitation to bring you into the light. Maybe a deeper light of compassion, of love, not only for others, but yourself as well. You can't love other people any better than you love yourself. So maybe this helps us understand we need to be forgiving, we need to be compassionate, we need to care about one another, love ye one another as I have loved you, said Jesus. How was that love? What was that love? It was very unique. It was very different. He did not love the flesh. He loved the soul, the spirit within each and every one of his disciples. He knew their frailties, their foibles. He knew about them, but he didn't try to change them. He offered them the opportunity for transformation, spiritual transformation. He wasn't going to allow his teachings to formulate into Aladdin's lamp, wishing and hoping for something to happen, something good to happen. He wasn't going to go down that road. Route. He was going to only offer to them the way, the truth, and the light. So how do I believe that we will get back to normal? Hopefully you will not go back to normal. Hopefully you will see things in a different light. You won't want to go back to normal, into routine. You will start to, well, maybe smell a rose differently, touch a child tenderly, understand that every nuance of your life matters, that everything is important and significant. You won't ignore the obvious, which is that the only thing that truly matters is love itself. Maybe everything will change in our life. I mean, everything will change. And maybe that's what it's all about, just that kind of change. I don't know. I don't know what it'll be for you. For me, it is all about gratitude. I'm deeply grateful for everything that life has given to me, has shown me. To me, it's about realizing the grace of life and how life has loved me in and through and in spite of all of Gregory's foibles and problems in his own mind. Everything that he has ever done, he has forgiven. You are forgiven. Everyone is forgiven. And maybe we need to live more as that of forgiveness than that as the contrary of feeling like everybody is our enemy and we only help those who are deserving and all of that other rubbish. Maybe we'll have an entirely different point of view. Maybe. I don't want to go back to normal, Thomas. I hope we don't. I hope you don't. I hope you are changed by all of this, that you are at least morphed a little bit into something that is deeper and grander and more beautiful than you might imagine right now. Maybe this is just the medicine we needed to start a few of you out there to question the value system that you live by and awaken. Just awaken. It can be done. Now, Thomas, thank you for your question. And for your sake, I hope you don't get back to normal. Please forgive me. Namaste. The next one is from Candace. She does not tell me where she lives. I feel terribly disrupted within. What can I do to get back to normal, Candace? Well, if you're disrupted, this is a good time. This is a good thing. We all need to be disrupted from the measure of our lapsadaisical minds and the bodies that live as they do in fear and hate. So let me say this to you, Candace. Everybody wants to get back to normal. How about the extraordinary? How about discovering the extraordinary rather than getting back to the grind of the normal where the synapses in our brain are firing off over and over and over again in the same old pattern? So you feel disrupted. This is good. Now, let's go to something extraordinary. What could you discover about yourself beyond fear and hate that would be absolutely extraordinary. Maybe that's what we need to discover, that kind of state of being where love penetrates far deeper within you than that of just getting along as you have in your past days. Maybe you could find something creative in you. Maybe you could realize how muddled you have been in your life about who you are. Look, Constance, look at who you are. Who are you? What are you? Where are you? Ask yourself questions that help you, that help awaken you to the fact of your own life and the state of your heart. Maybe sit and read some poetry, listen to some beautiful music. Sit quietly with no music and no poetry, just sitting quietly. How long can you sit quietly before you can't stand it anymore? Clock yourself. Just sit quietly. Watch your breath. Watch your breath go in. Watch your breath go out. Look for the pause and look for the gap between one breath and another. Just sit and watch and watch. Don't evaluate. Don't think about other things. Don't be judging yourself or other people. Just sit and watch. Want nothing with all of your heart for a few moments. Don't want things to go back to normal. What would it be like if everything was different when this is all over? What if this is a transition period, a beginning of a new life, a new experience within you? What if all of this is so beautiful that we just can't stand it? And instead of getting upset about the virus and getting emotional about the people leaving their bodies due to the virus, use your time wisely. Don't sit in panic or fear. Sit in awareness. Something beautiful might arise out of this. Something unusual. Something unconscionably beautiful. Illogical, totally illogical might be happening. And as you begin to pursue that deeper and deeper by just sitting quietly, wanting, again, nothing with all of your heart, you will find something rumbles in you. Something wonderful is starting to happen in you. Something beautiful. And as that beauty and that rumbling starts to happen, you follow it. You smile. You give that to your home. Maybe this is a time to rearrange your life in your home, rearrange your environment. Maybe this is time to see how you waste time in your environment. Maybe this is time for you and for me to reassess the totality of our whole lifetime. What are we doing? What are we doing with this life? What are we doing in ourselves? What is happening? Start to look at it. Maybe use, a pen and a journal and write down the things that are and are not occurring within you. If you do any and all of these things, a change can happen. You will start to see. You have to be non-critical, non-judgmental about everything, of course. That is the key. But you can do that. This is a time, this isolation is a time for solidarity within us. I teach my students three things: simplicity, solitude, and silence. Those three things. To live in a simple manner without complication. Living in the solitude of the heart, just living without allowing people, objects, and things to hurt you, to bump you, to annoy you, and then sitting in the depths of a silence that goes beyond the ideals of right and wrong, good and bad. You can do this. This is our time. This is a reset button. It is a crisis that invites insight. And should you do this, should you live in this as insight, as an opportunity, you will be surprised at how beautiful all of this really is. And it was a gift that we had to have the way we had to have it. Let love live you. Please forgive me. Namaste. And the last question, I don't want to lose time here. This comes from George. He says, how can I realize that I cannot cope with what is going on? How do I realize that I am as weak as I have become? What do I do to get strong? George. George, don't put yourself down. Don't look at your weaknesses and coddle them, and don't let them condemn you either. It's human. You're in the human body. In this human body are many distractions. In this human body are many woes. It is a human body. That's all it is. And if you allow it to dictate your entire life, you will miss everything that is important to your life. So don't allow it to dictate to you. Listen. Breathe in and out and look, as I said before, for that gap, that pause. Just look. Be quiet. Move quietly through your home. Move quietly through everything you do, without panic and disruption to your quiet. Yes, you're finding you're human. You're finding the state of your genetics in a chaos. They cannot deal with all of this. The human body, the human being, needs a lot of contrariness, needs a lot of conflict, always needing conflict. Without conflict, a person cannot live well within themselves, so they think. But that's the way we are. We need the conflict. And have we not had enough conflict in this world? Do we not need harmony now instead of conflict? Harmony with what? With love. Harmony with patience. Harmony with forgiveness. Just the harmony. There is a tone to harmony. If you find that tone, if you live in the tone of a harmony that is not trying to go forward or backwards, but just stays in the present, you will find a profound moment in your life. And if I can do it, anyone can do it. Behind all of this falderal, George, behind it all, there is a steady stream of love. Steady stream of the authentic. And it just goes on and on and on. It does not fight. It does not seek more or less. It is fed, nurtured, and understood and experienced through nonviolence, inner nonviolence. Get rid of your belief that things have to be the way you want them to be. Open up to something new and different in you. Something that is trying to reach you beyond words and thoughts. Let this beautiful thing reach you. Let it touch you. Let it imbibe you. Let it be something that revives you from the state that you were once in into the state of love that you truly are. I hope that helps you, George. I really do. Thank you for your beautiful question. Please forgive me. Namaste. If you have comments or questions or anything, I'd love to hear from you. Again, my email is greg@aspire.org. That's greg@aspire.org. Real simple. I'll be back on the air tomorrow with more. I'd be honored if you'd join me. Please forgive me, eh? Namaste.